This morning to Truth Source, the Word of God, as we seek to discover sound biblical truth for today's world through the study of Scripture. This is Pastor Alan Marson from Christ Range Church in Frederick County, Virginia, with today's message titled, From Joy to Warning. Today's message is based on Colossians 3, verses 1 through 4. So let us open with prayer. O Lord, there is no God like you in heaven above or on the earth beneath, keeping covenant and steadfast love for your servants who walk before you with all their heart. Blessed are you, Lord, who has given rest to his people according to all that he has promised. Not one word has failed of his good promise, which he spoke through his servant Moses. The Lord our God be with us, as he was with our ancestors. May he not leave us or abandon us, but incline our hearts to him, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commandments, his statutes, and his ordinances, which he commanded our ancestors. Now, our God, we give you thanks and praise your glorious name. Amen. So turn in your Bibles to Colossians 3, where we'll read the first four verses. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Now, having finished our study of Revelation, I'll now be turning to Paul's letter to the Colossians for more practical aids to our life while we yet live on this globe we call earth, but in reality is what Scripture refers to as the world. It is our separation from the world which will bear most of the fruit in life, but is also the most difficult for us to achieve. We are bound to the world by TV, radio, newspapers, family, and our work. Our very existence depends on our relationship with the world. We must be really careful in setting our priorities, or we will find ourselves beyond salvation. A great deal of the information in this sermon comes from Dr. Paul Elliott and his series From Teaching the Word Ministries. I will not be properly footnoting much of his works, so I will give him due credit at the very beginning, and then build on this foundation to make this more than simply reading his article to you. I desire this to be very personal for each who hears this word, that you will grow and improve. So we begin with today, if then you were raised with Christ. And here the English language shows a disadvantage. The word translated as raised has dual meaning. You raise a child. You also raise someone up in their learning and progress. But here this means we are raised from death as a sinner to new life in Christ. Paul is addressing a fairly new age of the church, full of immature believers in this congregation. In fact, Colossians is where the thought of being a Christian is actually founded. As a separate religion or group from Judaism and all the pagan religions the people were more familiar with. And the verse continues with, "Seek those things which are above where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God." Now this is our ultimate goal, where we seek reunion with Christ in heaven. And we have multiple assurances this is how we are to end if we remain faithful and believe. Paul Gear gives us a glimpse of what we will find. And this is the joy part of Christianity and our expectation of eternal life with God. We long to arrive and witness this event. Even that our desire will help us control our lives while we yet live in this fallen world. And then going to verse 2, set your mind on things above and not on things of the earth. In this verse, we will spend most of our time today. There is a phrase, too heavenly minded to be of any earthly use. Ever heard someone described as this? And here's where the difficulty comes in. We are called to Christ, but also must exist within our lives in the world to provide for ourselves and our families and our communities. The Holy Spirit's great exhortation delivered through the Apostle Paul speaks to us about a great pitfall for the church, from its earliest of days to the present time. Paul wrote these words because the Colossian believers were in great danger of becoming earthbound rather than heavenbound in their thinking. They were in danger of being caught up in the philosophies of the pagan world around them. They were in danger of being bound up in the dead legalism of the Old Covenant. They were in danger of being cheated of the reward in Christ by subjecting themselves to man-made spiritual authorities rather than Christ's authority, and to man-made doctrines rather than the doctrine of Christ. Now, much of the day's church is motivated by a value system that is not based on the one thing of heaven, but the things of the earth. We see this as a social justice gospel, prosperity gospels, gospels that focus on elevating one group over another, like Dr. Jeremiah Wright, who was Barack Obama's pastor and developed a gospel of liberation, and once stated, "God damned the United States," as part of his sermon. Much of the world has decided to find a message that suits their feelings rather than what God has ordained. We shall call this as earthbound thinking. The Holy Spirit's great exhortation delivered through the Apostle Paul speaks to us about a great pitfall for the church, from its earliest days to now. Paul wrote these words about the church. They were in danger of being cheated. And also the Paul writes to point them to the only sure remedy for earthbound thinking and living. He focuses their attention not on things of the earth, but on things above. He focused their attention upon the preeminence of the Lord Jesus Christ. We must never forget that the gospel is a heavenly gospel. The gospel has its origins in heaven, not on earth. The author and finisher of the gospel, Jesus Christ, is of heaven and not the earth. He condescended to come to earth and die our death for sin in order to deliver us from this present earth. In the same way, Paul reminds the Galatian church why Christ gave himself for our sins, he died our death and rose for our justification, that he might deliver us from this present evil age. That's from Galatians 1:4. God is not in the business of making this earth a better place. God is in the business of saving a people for the new earth to come. This earth is under God's curse because of sin. It is doomed to destruction because of sin. And Paul reminds the Colossian believers that God the Father has qualified us to be partakers of all the inheritance of the saints in the light. And this in the new heavens and the new earth, from which righteousness will dwell, in which there will be no night. And that from Revelation 21 and 22. He reminds them that God has delivered us from the power of darkness, the power of this present earth, the power of sin and Satan. He's conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. In our day, vast segments of the church have lost sight of the reality of these things. Vast segments of the church have become earthbound rather than heavenbound. Practically speaking, much of the church is perverting the opening verses of Colossians chapter 3. Practically speaking, much of what is being taught and done in church today says, set your mind on things of the earth and not on things that are above. Seek those things which are on earth, where you are, rather than those which are in heaven where Christ is seated. This is how vast segments of the church think and operate. Many Christians and much of the church are motivated not by the things of heaven, but the things of earth. The value system of many Christians and many churches is earthbound rather than heavenbound. And so the witness of many who call themselves Christians and the witness of many churches that call themselves evangelical is focused on things of the world and not of the world to come. To listen to the conversations of many Christians and to listen to the preaching of many churches, one would think that this world is all there is. This life is all there is. One would think that this world is permanent. One would think that the treasures of this earth are the real treasures and the only treasures. One would think that salvation is all about self-esteem and success in this present life and about having all our problems solved here and now. One would think, listening to many who call themselves Christians and listening to the many preachers who call themselves evangelical, that the message of the gospel is merely about a change of earthly circumstances. One would think quite often that the gospel has little or nothing to do with heaven at all. One would hardly think, listening to many professing Christians and many professing preachers today, that heaven is the goal. Now, this is the thinking of the church that has surrendered to the world and not to Christ. This is the thinking of the church that has set its mind on things of the earth, as though these things are lasting and permanent. This is the methodology of those who believe that the inventions of man can be brought into the church and into the life and thinking of the Christian, and that this will be enough. This focus on things of the earth will, if left unchecked, lead to eternity in hell and not heaven. The church and all of us desperately need the Bible cure for this kind of earthbound thinking, living, preaching, and witness. We need a cure for these things that we find in Colossians chapter 3. If you then were raised with Christ, seek these things of which are above, where Christ is sitting at his right hand. Set your mind on things above and not on things of the earth. For you died, your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. William Barclay says of the true Christian, ambitions which dominate the world will not be able to touch him. He will set giving more than getting, serving above ruling, forgiving above avenging. The Christian will see things, not as they appear to men, but as they appear to God. Now, all this sounds really good, except we cannot live in a day's world like this. We will be trampled under and left to starve and freeze. This may be true because we have allowed the world to come to such a place. Now we go to WWJD. What would Jesus do? This was very active as a theme just a few years ago, and everyone felt it was the answer. So where is it now? This is what happens when we allow human instincts to cloud scriptural truth. We come up with catchy phrases and themes that sound nice, but do little to strengthen our own belief in that Jesus of Scripture and the causes of skepticism from those around us is because it is just too pat, too singy-songy to be effective. Those will say we must reduce the gospel to the level that children and young people can understand. We have to find a way to attract youth with the world that they can associate with, one of bright lights, loud music, and smoke machines. What is being missed is that we are only appealing to their worldly nature and not their spiritual nature and truth. We rapidly become the devil's helper in watering down God's word. We all must live as fully as we can while we are yet here. The difference is that we should all do all things in Christ and for Christ. You have a job stocking shelves. How do you serve Jesus? Do your job well. Do not cause conflict or division. Let the others around you notice the difference in how you live versus how they feel. Do you strive for a promotion or a raise? Of course, as long as it is for Christ and not self. The promotion is not that you can call attention to yourself, but rather you will be able to better provide for your family and be able to return to your community. Now, most of all, the world that is promoted today is about self. Better hair and complexion, nicer car, stylish clothes, drink this, feel better about yourself. And the list goes on, and this is how our children are being raised, based on what they see and know of the world. And then going to verse 3, for you died, your life is hidden with Christ in God. This doesn't mean that you die a physical death, but that the old man in you has died when you accept Jesus as Lord and Savior. You have become a new man in Christ. This doesn't mean you now go to church, but that you have fundamentally changed how you live, how you associate with things, how you treat people. This is not limited to the building we call church, but in all areas of your life. You don't get to pick and choose, but you have truly become a new creature than the one before you knew Christ. The Christian life is defined by the believer's identification with Christ. It is not enough to know that Jesus died for us. We must understand that we also died with him. Because we died and were raised with him, the power of sin is over us is broken. We are hidden with Christ in God, through the work of the Holy Spirit, who baptizes all believers into one body, the body of Christ. When we follow Christ in baptism, we showed that our previous way of life was put to death, buried out of sight, hidden with Christ in God. At the moment we were saved, sin lost its dominion over us. See Romans 6. We are no longer obligated to submit to the control of our old sin nature. Now we are both dead and alive all at once. We are dead to sin and become alive to Christ. We are free to live a brand new life in Christ. So when God the Father looks at us, he no longer sees the old sinful self. The old you is now hidden with Christ in God. The Father ceases to count your sins against you because of your identification with the death and resurrection of his Son. In the eyes of God, you are changed into a new creation in Christ's image and likeness. The idea of being hidden with Christ in God also relates to the believer's eternal security. Scripture often portrays God's people as securely hidden in the shelter of his presence, concealed under the cover of his tent or in his quiver. And now going to verse 4, when Christ, who is our life, appears. First, who are we speaking? It is Christ and no other. To what level is Christ a part of your life? This is not knowledge of Christ, but actual union with Jesus and an integral part of your life. For who or what would you risk your life? Your family? Your parents? Your favorite collection? This is not a decision of someone selfish. There's an old joke about Jack Penny, a comedian who was notoriously thrifty. One night as he was walking home, a robber steps out and declares, "Your money or your life?" And when Jack doesn't respond, the robber yells it again, and Jack replies, I'm thinking. Now, this was a man with very poor priorities. We also say that there were but two who would dare die for you, Jesus and the American soldier. A soldier or a police officer who goes out knows of the risk. But Jesus died knowing that he did not have to, but he chose to die in a very brutal, savage way before we were even born. We owe much to our military and police, but consider, we owe everything to Jesus. So when will Jesus appear? Well, he'll come at the second coming. He will descend in the clouds, but we are not certain when this will be. But it is our belief that that day is coming. We should never dread it, for it will fulfill all we truly desire in Christ. And we close the day with, "Then you will appear with him in glory." Now, Paul wrote in 2 Timothy chapter 4, "Then on that glorious, long-awaited day, those hidden with Christ in God will be given the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to all who have longed for his appearing. You will be taken up to be with him, to be with him for eternity. Not all, but those who set their mind on things above and did not dwell in worldly affairs to your own detriment." Now, I titled this message "From Joy to Warning," and this passage clearly takes us there. But now I think I should have titled it "From Joy to Warning and Back to Joy." We will face many difficulties in life, but always must know that God will judge the world in light of the cross. God will say, "See what I have done for you. What have you decided to do to reflect this same light?" Do you realize the cost of the cross? Do you realize just what the cross can bring to you? We have been told of the joy to expect, and Paul has warned us of placing ourselves too much into the world. Live life in expectation of the glory to come and in sharing that joy with others. When the day arrives, you will not be judged on how much you earn or how many awards you have received. You will be judged on how you lived and lived for Christ and in Christ. Amen. So let us close the day with our benediction. "Now to him who by the power at work within us is able to accomplish abundantly far more than all we could ever ask or imagine, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Go in peace in the knowledge of God's power. Go in confidence in the knowledge of God's strength. Go in joy in the knowledge of God's love. And now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen." So thank you for joining us today on the radio. If able, find a good church and worship with God's people. But we pray you will find God here as well. You can hear a message every Sunday morning at 8 a.m. on this radio station, or join us in person at Christ Range Church at 11 a.m. for Truth Source, the Word of God. If you missed a message, you can go to www.talkwinchester.com, then Church Services tab, then in Christ Range. You can also find a video of our message on our website. This is from Christ Range Church, www.crpchurch.com.
Crown him with many crowns, the Lamb upon his throne. Hark how the heavenly anthem drowns all music but its own. Awake, my soul, and sing. Lord.